I'm speaking to Edward Fox, who's actually the guitar player and also vocalist from the heavy metal band from the United Kingdom called Vendetta. How's it going for you today?
Oh, it's great. Fine. Yeah, it's a lovely day here. So, it's all good.
Awesome. Well, welcome to Metal Messiah Radio, Ed.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. So, you actually want to tell us how, you know, Vendetta got started? You want to give me a brief history?
Well, it started out going back about 2005. I'd sort of just finished recording my second solo CD called Moonfudge, which is like basically a guitar instrumental album.
Cool.
And I'd done a couple of albums like that, and I was just kind of keen to try and start writing songs again, really, with vocals and in the kind of more traditional metal style of bands that I really like. So I kind of started writing the songs, and then as I was progressing with it, I sort of started to think about who I could get to, play the songs. And I've got a friend called Pete Thompson, who's a really good guitarist, who I knew would be really good for the twin metal guitar style, because we've got really comparable rhythm guitar style, so we'd lock in well. And then I had another bass player in mind, but he couldn't do it, so I got the bass player Gary Foley, who's an old friend from another band we were in, and that sort of made us three. And then we just needed a drummer, so there was a drummer who'd done some my solo stuff with me, and he sort of filled the drum slot, and that was sort of the back end of 2005. And then we just rehearsed the songs I'd written pretty much starting in 2006, and the band really progressed from there. We recorded our first CD and then started gigging after that.
Killer. So you want to tell me on, you know, your brand new album, which is called World Under Fire. I mean, why did you guys choose that name for that album?
Well, to be honest, like, we typically with album titles, usually I'll have like a load of song titles, you know, I'll keep on the computer, you know, if I get like a title idea, or I read something somewhere and it sounds really good, like a phrase or something like that, I'll just kind of put it on a list. And I had a load of stuff, but I kind of emailed some of the ideas out to the band, but nothing was sticking really. And then Pete, our guitarist, was working on the album cover, and then what he often does, he will take several titles and kind of put them with the album artwork to see what kind of looks and feels good with the artwork. And that was one of the titles he came up with, and after much to-ing and fro, we kind of settled on that as like a title that worked really well with the album artwork and kind of fitted with the sort of Vendetta sound and Vendetta vibe. So, you know, there wasn't really a kind of particular kind of design about how we covered the album title. It was just sounded good and fitted really well with the artwork.
Yeah, that artwork is definitely killer. I mean, that monster with the purple and, like, the yellow, I mean,
yeah,
that is just one hell of a amazing album cover. When I first saw it, I was like, holy shit. Wow. Yeah, it pretty much blew me away. I mean, who actually designed that album cover?
Well, Pete, we're very lucky in our band because Pete, our guitarist, is also one of the UK's leading concept artists. If people want to check out his work, they can check out a company called Atom Hawk, if you do a search for Atom Hawk. And they're like a concept art studio based in Newcastle, where we're from. And Pete works for them, and he's done loads of stuff at the moment. They've done the Harry Potter stuff online, and they're working on the new Thor film, doing the concept art for that. So he's basically painted pictures and done art stuff since he's a child, and obviously he's really into metal album covers like Iron Maiden and Judas Priest and classic sort of graphic painted illustrated album covers of the 1970s like Rainbow Rising and that. So whenever he comes to do a CD cover, he tries and draws on that kind of inspiration. And the figure on the album cover is basically a development of the character we've used on our previous album covers, who's sort of a guy, an angel kind of guy with wings, but now on this album cover he's sort of mutated into sort of more of a, I don't know, kind of robot metal something or other.
Yeah, he's a very talented album, you know, artist. I gotta say that much.
He is, yeah. Yeah, he doesn't do the only album art, he does this for us, but because the company works for, you know, the commissions they accept are kind of for computer games and movies and, you know, television and things like that. But basically concept art, what they do is they come up with sort of artistic ideas that will inspire the people in productions to kind of turn them into actual things, you know. Yeah, like I said, if you go on their website, you'll be able to see lots of examples of his work.
Cool. So how long did this CD take to make, you know, start to finish recording-wise?
Well, we work on a small budget, so the recording part of it was 8 days.
That's not bad.
Then mixing, we did about 5.5 days. And that was, we basically recorded in February of last year, and then we mixed in April. And then in May, I kind of compiled the disc. And then we had a bit of a break, really, over the summer before sort of getting out for release. So that's why it's taken a while, really. You know, we probably could have got out a little sooner, but so yeah, recording wise, we always take about 2 weeks, so I know we can't afford any more.
That's actually pretty short, because I mean, I've heard a few bands actually that's taken about 3 to 6 months, even to a year to record. I was like, okay, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it depends, really. It's depends on the budget, or if a band's got its own home studio. I mean, if you had your own home studio set up, you could take a really long time. I think in an ideal world, for us, I mean, it would be great to have another, you know, 2 or 3 days recording, and then mixing, it would be nice to mix a track a day. So in an ideal universe, it'd be nice to have about a four-week recording period. But we're not the sort of band that wants to do 13 or 14 songs. We'd rather just keep it to 10 songs, 9 songs, so we've got, like, quality, not quantity. You know, I don't like long albums, you know, when it's like 70 minutes or something, you know. I like them to be something you can put on while you're getting ready to go out, or put on in the morning, you know, while you're having your breakfast, you know, or in your car on the way to work, you know.
Oh yeah, definitely. So you want to tell me how your writing process is done? I mean, where do you get your inspirations for your songs?
Well, writing process, I mean, I might sort of write a song, you know, at home, and just kind of come up with the whole thing, you know, and introduce it to the band in practice. Or someone like Pete, the guitarist, or Gary, the bass player, might have a riff. So we might sort of jam that around, and then some of us, like myself, might cover some of our ideas to go with that song, maybe take it away, work on the music, and then generally I do the lyrics sort of last. So once the music's written and arranged, then you know, come up with like the lyrics and the vocal melodies. You know, I usually start by writing the chorus for a song. So I'll get a kind of summer happening for the chorus, and then sort of develop the verses from that. We also jam quite a bit in practice, so there's a song off the new CD called Halo in Black.
That's a killer song.
Yeah, it's Cheers, Thanks, it's the first track on the album, so that's a kind of riff that Pete just kind of came up with jamming in practice. And then we had another sort of idea for it, the bridge idea, and then we've kind of forgotten about it. But I tend to remember riffs if they're good, and I tinkered with that at home, and then put some other bits of it, and, you know, develop from there. So if something sounds good, it's a good idea going, we'll just sort of run with it, you know. But we always start with riffs. We work on the riffs first, like.
Killer. So, I mean, what other bands or projects were you in? I mean, you mentioned you had, like, a solo CD. Were you ever in another band or project?
Well, when I was 18, 19, I was started off in a band in Newcastle, where we live, called Accelerator, spelled XLR8R. And we did various demos, trying to get a record deal in the early 90s. And in about the mid-90s, we actually funded doing their own CD that we pressed ourselves, and I guess our style was sort of progressive metal with a bit of a 90s twist. If you put a search in on YouTube for Accelerator Inner Oceans, you'll actually find people have put tracks up from the album, so you'll be able to hear that. And then because of the climate of 90s music, we didn't really get anything. And then I was in a kind of sort of poppier rock band for a couple of years with a friend, doing sort of more kind of stuff like kind of Who style, Hendrix style music for a bit. And then I did my instrumental guitar solo CDs, which you can get and find online, music, and then Vendetta. So I've had a quite varied history.
That's pretty killer. I mean, you know, to be involved in music like all that much is just totally killer.
Yeah, I've never really dropped out of it, really. I mean, when I finish one thing, I've usually been kind of starting the next thing. So, you know, when something's kind of been felt like it's coming to an end, I've kind of already had, oh, I might do this next. So, I've pretty much kept going, really, in some form or another, over the last 20 years.
So who exactly are your musical influences for you? I mean, you have to have, you know, definite idols.
Well, for sort of bands, in terms of Vendetta sound, obviously, key ones are sort of British bands like Judas Priest,
yep.
Saxon,
mm-hmm.
Iron Maiden, and kind of metal, more metal era Queensryche, like Rage for Order, Operation Mindcrime. And we also like stuff like Rainbow, you know, Dio era, Black Sabbath, Dio. I really like UFO, Thin Lizzy, AC/DC,
cool.
You know, Accept, we really like Accept, and then for guitarists, I love Yngwie Malmsteen, George Lynch, Michael Schenker, Doug Aldridge. You know, I grew up in, when I started playing guitar, it was the era of 80s shred, so I like all those players like Tony McAlpine and you know, Steve Vai, you know, the whole era of guitar. So that's sort of the era I grew up on. I like Dokken and Rat, a bit of LA metal as well.
Wow. Yeah.
And the rest of the...
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, the rest of the band, you know, we pretty much have similar tastes. Gary, the bass player, really likes progressive rock like Marillion, and he loves Pink Floyd. And then Pete, you know, likes Racer X, you know, things like that. And Lee, our drummer, really likes Megadeth. So we're all coming from a similar base
for
musical influence.
Wow, you just named some people that I totally love. You know, I mean, not many people do know who actually Tony McAlpine is. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, we live on the Maximum Security album. That's a great guitar album, great drums. Yeah.
Totally awesome. Totally killer. I mean, definitely. I mean, I'm a huge Marillion fan, too.
Yeah, well, Gary, our bass player, goes to Marillion's sort of get-together. They have sometimes in Holland and sometimes in Wales. They do that kind of Marillion weekend, and Gary's actually done they have a competition where musicians can sit in with the band, and Gary's actually played bass in Marillion for one song of this, so
wow.
You can find it on YouTube. It's on our website as a favourite on our YouTube channel, so yeah, he's Marillion mad.
Wow, that's pretty cool, because Steve Hogarth is pretty cool, but I mean, I prefer Fish in Marillion, so
yeah.
I'm a
fan. Gary really likes both eras. You know, he's kind of stuck with them right through, you know.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. So, what actually is your favorite song off of the album, I mean, World Under Fire, to actually sing or play the guitar on?
Well, the song I'm most pleased with the vocal performance on is a track called All Your Setting Suns, which is a kind of long, sort of epic, quite experimental track. Whether we play it live, I'm not sure really, because it's got quite a lot of overdubs and it's quite involved production-wise. Guitar-wise, I'm not sure. I quite enjoy playing the track Blast Radius. We play that in practice and live. That's a good one to play. And for guitar solos, I like a track called Fragmented Reality, which has got a lot of fast sort of trade-off lead work from Pete and I, which I'm pleased with how that turned out. So those are probably like some of the favourite ones at the moment.
Keller, so what actually is your musical background? I mean, how did that all get started?
Well, I first started playing guitar, I got my first guitar when I was 9, when I was very young, and I had a few lessons at school, and I kind of tinkered with it for a couple of years, but I didn't really make much progress because I was very young,
mm-hmm.
And then I kind of dropped out of playing guitar for a couple of years, and then when I was 14, a friend of mine got another guitar and he was getting back into it, and I decided to, you know, take it up again, and then I was just like really hooked, and then, you know, just practicing guitar all the time, you know, learning riffs by Van Halen and Rat and Dokken and learning solos and things like that, and then I went to study music in Newcastle in the sort of northeast of England when I was about 18.
Cool.
And then I joined bands up in that region of the country, and pretty much progressed from there really, and I've been sort of playing ever since.
That's pretty cool. So are you actually going to be touring with this album that you're putting out?
Well, the problem for Vendetta is you know, we do all this ourselves, effectively, apart from live music, basically, and, you know, put out our CDs. And time-wise, you know, we've all got regular jobs.
Yeah.
So it's pretty difficult to, you know, get time free and stuff like that. We'd like to do a little tour, if we could, you know, get hooked up with a band or, you know, someone we could go out with. But at the moment, you know, it's not looking likely. But we will do gigs in support of the album, and we're always available if someone wants to book us. But it is pretty limited what we can do in terms of getting out there, you know.
So how is it actually working with Lion Music? I mean, you're definitely on some, like, awesome company with that label.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's a pretty simple sort of setup. Basically, with Lion, you know, we make a CD in, you know, whatever schedule of time we can or choose to, and then we send it off to those guys, and Lassie and go, here's a new album, and then hopefully he likes it, which so far he has, and then we just sort of come to an arrangement about, you know, how it's going to be put out, and, you know, we'll get a little small advance, and they basically, you know, do a lot of the, you know, getting the CD out there and get it out to, you know, radio stations and to websites for review, and we also do our share of promo work. You know, we'll make our promo videos, and we also, you know, get it out to websites as well if there's some reviewers we know, and we just work together really, particularly closely with Andy, who you know.
Yep, I do him very well.
Yeah, he's in charge of like the promo side of things. We work closely with Andy, making sure all that's kind of hooked up, everything's hooked up in tandem to go out at the same time. Like I said, we're pretty lucky because we've got Pete in the band, and Gary's also very good with computers, so we can sort of do, you know, things like Facebook and Twitter and all our online stuff, and you know, hook that up with Andy, so everything that runs in tandem. We also have a friend who's does our videos, and so we're able to shoot pretty good high quality videos at a low price, so, you know, we've got everything. It's like a little cottage industry, really.
That's pretty cool. I mean, yeah, you could definitely be on a budget nowadays.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you have to keep things on a tight rein, you know, because you could run out of money pretty fast.
So how can actual fans, you know, access your music? I mean, that are not familiar with your band, I mean, where are the CDs available for people that want to actually buy them?
Well, there's lots of outlets. I mean, basically, the first port of call is Lion's own website, www.lionmusic.com. They sell our album direct. But other retail, online retail outlets are Amazon, HMV, Stockit as well. If you do, you know, you need to do a search for the album. If you just put, you know, Vendetta World under fire, you would find it there. You can also purchase them off our website, which is www.vendetta-theband.com. And the album also ends up, you know, for download via Lion. It'll also end up on iTunes later on. So those are the principal outlets. But there's a lot of online retailing, basically. So you can basically find the album. You know, if you just did a search online, you'd find somewhere to purchase it. No problem.
How do you feel about internet radio? I mean, such as me playing your music to, like, I would say, a lot of listeners that are not familiar with Vendetta. I mean, you're actually, you know, going worldly now. You're hitting every single continent now with your music. How do you feel about that?
I think it's really good. I mean, the radio situation, internet radio and digital radio, has been really good because now that means it's meant there's more radio stations, and if you've got a specific type of music you like, then you can go directly to the source, you know. In our country, a lot of, you know, specialist programs tended to be on late at night or, you know, tucked away, whereas now you can have a dedicated rock station in this country, and obviously in America, you know, every state's always had its dedicated rock stations. And then on the internet as well, you can pretty much stream any kind of music you like, so that's really good. I think that's been excellent.
So, I have to ask you, how do you feel about people downloading your music on the internet?
at the end of the day, I think people just have to kind of accept that. I mean, you know, obviously people are going to buy legal downloads. Me personally, I don't download music. If I like a CD, I'll just buy the CD, but I'm old fashioned. At the end of the day, you know, people, you can't uninvent the wheel, and music's out there free of charge if you want to search for it and get it. And I just think it's part of the musical landscape now. And people just have to find different ways to make their music more attractive for purchase, find different ways to generate income, you know. It's just part of the new universe. I mean, I'm not sure, it's always progressing, and I think in a, you know, 5-10 years it'll probably settle down into some kind of economic model, but at the moment it's all the new frontier really, so, you know, I'm just happy to go with it, just to see where it ends up, you know.
Mm-hmm. So actually, how do you feel about, you know, the heavy metal scene as a whole today as like years ago? Do you think it changed? Do you think it got better? Do you think it got worse?
I think the metal scene's been, I think the metal scene was really, really bad at the back end of the 80s through to the mid to late 90s. I think if people were sort of checking out what was going on in Europe around 97, 98, I think that was when the sort of revival for sort of more traditional metal began. And then that's kind of acted as a springboard from all of that kind of music into, you know, the last decade. I think recently, I think the sort of metal, the interest in metal's still high, but I don't think people are buying as many albums as they were. I think sort of sales were a bit bigger sort of 5 or 6 years ago. But there's a lot more variety now, and it's less dictated by trends. I think that was the big problem in the 80s. You know, you had the hair metal trend.
Yep.
Then there was a, you know, there was a lot, everyone was sort of in the thrash, and then you had the new metal thing. And now there tends to be less trends. It's just, if you like a certain kind of heavy metal, you can go and find it, you can buy it, you can go and see the band and indulge your passion for whatever kind of metal you like, and not feel that you're some kind of heathen or something like that, you know, because you're not, you know, listening to music perceived as fashionable, you know.
So what exactly has been your biggest challenge for Vendetta, or as far as you goes?
I think for us it's getting it, you know, it's just getting it together enough, you know, to make the CDs. Like I said, we're pretty limited with the amount of time we can spend on the band. So we have to be, like, very focused in terms of getting stuff done. And that can be quite challenging sometimes, because we have, like, certain things, you know, we have to do, and it's quite difficult fitting that in with normal life. So that's been the biggest challenge over the last year or two. In actual fact, with our album, you know, we wanted to write more songs for it, but we just kind of ran out of time. We had recording booked, and if we postponed recording, you know, we'd have had to find, it would have been difficult to find another time to record. So I think time management's been the biggest challenge for Vendetta.
Cool. So, what bands are you actually listening to now?
Well, at the moment, the last few albums I've got, there's a new Van Halen album, which I think's great. New Primal Fear album, Unbreakable, that's really, I think, one of the best.
Yeah.
And then, sort of last few years, I've been listening to sort of the new Accept album. Just sort of Metal Priest, the usual things really. I'm not certainly someone who tends to check out a lot of new music, you know. If I stumble across a newer band, you know, I listen to them online and, you know, check out stuff that way. But I tend to, like, look forward to albums by the bands I've always been into, you know, because a lot of bands have sort of come back in the last 10 years or so, so there's lots of good new albums to buy every year.
Oh yeah, I mean, everybody's making their heyday comeback now.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah, it's been pretty mad, you know?
Yeah, some bands are just like, wait, you're still around? Wait, you're crawling out of the woodwork? What happened to you? And now you're back, you know?
Yeah. I think it's just a bit of change in the musical climate. I think, again, the 90s was just such a bad time at times for certain kind of bands, because a lot of bands just had identity crises, and they alienated their fans, you know, by changing the sound, or and now what's happened in the last 10 years, people have just sort of settled down and gone, well, you know, there's no point in trying to get new fans, we need to preach to the converted and keep our, attract our old fans again and, you know, keep them on board. So there's been a lot more, you know, like I say, traditional metal coming out from the classic bands and newer bands doing the classic style.
So who exactly would you love to tour with as a dream with Vendetta?
I don't know, it's a difficult one, that, because it, again, it's that kind of realistic thing. I mean, if it was no option, you know, you'd want to with Iron Maiden or Judas Priest, you know, those kind of bands. For a band like Vendetta, it'd be great to support a band like Primal Fear on some UK dates or Saxon or someone like that, someone where, you know, I think realistically we'd go down well and we could do a great support for them.
So what guitar equipment are you using, and are you actually currently endorsed?
In terms of guitars, we do have a sort of relationship with Sir Guitars. Pete, our guitarist, uses them, and I use some of their effects pedals. So we're not strictly endorsed by them, but you know, we can get a little bit of money off, and we know those guys, and we use Rotosound strings. And so a company called Steve Clayton picks. So they're just little endorsements where we, you know, we get a bit of a bit of money off our gear. But in terms of my guitars, I just use Fender, old Fender Strats that I've customised. I'm not much of a gearhead, if I'm honest. How do I put it? You know, I tend to like get stuff that works and is reliable. I'm not sort of somebody who chases the next sound. You know, once I've found something I like the sound, I tend to stick with it for a long time.
So, are you going to be recording another album for Vendetta? I mean, do you have any songs written for it?
Well, at the moment, we're just working on promoting the new CD, and we'll be doing that till the end of the year and into next year. And then at some point, at the end of that, I think we'll have a little break and then start thinking about writing for the next album. But in terms of when we would record, I'm not sure, because next time I do it, I just definitely want to have the songs absolutely perfect and make sure we've got the material that we're really happy with before going to record. I haven't actually written anything for quite a while, and there was a few ideas left over from the last album which I think would be worth exploring, because we didn't have time to look at those. So it'll be a bit of a fresh canvas for Vendetta. I'm not sure where we go next, but it'll be a watch this space kind of thing, but I'm certain that we'll attempt to make another album, definitely.
Cool. So what do you like to do when you're not actually being a musician? I mean, do you have any hobbies?
I just kind of watch movies, really. You know, I can teach guitar for my job, so I'm basically doing music all the time, really. So if I'm not practicing with a band, gigging with a band, then I'm teaching guitar. So in my spare time, I'll watch a movie or some TV shows I like. Maybe watch a bit of sport, like motor racing or football. And that's about it, really. Apart from sometimes going out and having a few drinks.
Football, do you mean soccer?
Soccer, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. I knew exactly where you're coming from, because I used to live in the United Kingdom, so I totally understood, so.
yeah, we're watching soccer. Yeah, we won 1-0 today, Newcastle, so.
Did you guys really? Congrats.
Yeah, so it's a obviously low scoring game soccer, but we won 1-0, so that's good. They've been on a little bit of a wobble recently, so that was good. So we're doing quite well at the moment, actually, in the league. We're 6.
Cool, that's cool for us.
Which is good for Newcastle. If you knew how Newcastle had been doing, that's really, really good, so.
Cool. So what is exactly the 2012 hold for Vendetta? Do you guys have any plans?
Well, we've got a sort of our timetable of gigs in at the moment. We're doing a kind of album launch gig in Newcastle in about a few weeks' time. And then we'll have another couple of sort of key gigs in our local area, plus a few other ones, and a little sort of mini festival that we play, which is in Sunderland, which is the next city to Newcastle. And then obviously, you know, we're open, if someone wants to try and book us for a festival or something like that, we're open, you know, we'd love to talk to people. So we'll wait and see what happens, but yeah, 2012 is basically like gigging and promoting the CD.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So is there anything else that I actually had left out for, you know, people who are not familiar with Vendetta that want to actually learn about you? I mean, are you available or be approached on, you know, actual Facebook to talk?
Yeah, we've got our own kind of Facebook page, but the best thing to do is, you know, if people are interested in the band and they want to ask questions, is to email me, and it's, they can find them, their contact on our website, www.vendetta-theband.com. So that's a good way to kind of, you know, contact the band. And, you know, we have updates on our website. You can find all the links to social networks and YouTube on there. And that's pretty much, you know, got most of, you know, what you need to know about Vendetta. And it's, you know, you can check out our music on there as well.
And I just want to say thank you so much, Ed, you know, for taking the time to, you know, tell our fans, especially me, who's, you know, familiar with your band, and people who are not familiar with your band, you know, the time about Vendetta. I mean, you put out one hell of an awesome album.
Oh, cheers, thanks very much. I'm just, you know, really pleased it's getting a good reception. Because you never know when you create sort of music in a little bubble, and then, you know, you sit on it for 6 or 7 months waiting for it to come out, and, you know, it's quite strange. But the reception so far has been really positive, so hopefully we've weathered that difficult third album, as they say.
And do you have anything else to say before we close out this interview for your fans?
Just keep checking out Vendetta, keep checking out metal, stay true to metal, because it's the best music. So whether it's Vendetta or not, you know, as long as there's metal, we will always live in a good world, as long as there's metal.
Awesome, and this is DJ Sim signing out, Metal Messiah Radio. Ed, stick around.
Cheers, thanks.
You're welcome.